I'm currently reading the Bible, the whole thing.
Are you going cover to cover? Are you just doing the hits?
Cover to cover. It's challenging.
You're going to read the Begats?
Oh, I've got past the Begats.
Oh, so wait, you're already into the... Are you just reading the New Testament then?
The whole thing, baby.
You are pretty far in if you hit the Begats.
I am in Ecclesiastes right now.
Oh.
So just finished up Proverbs. And then what's the other one that's like Proverbs?
Numbers.
No, no. It also starts with a P.
Piss.
Yeah. Oh man, it's a challenge. It's a challenge.
Just so you haven't you have not hit the Begats. The Begats are what happens between the New Testament and Old Testament.
Oh, there are a ton of Begats early on. Oh,
for
too.
Sure. There are a lot of people who beget a lot of people.
Well, it's the list. Like, how do we get from Abraham to where we are now?
All right, we got it. We got to connect Abraham to Jesus. We got to do it. I don't care how many people have to go in between.
So it's like the last 5 minutes of Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
Excuse me, I'm a different bird.
Okay, roll for initiative. It's going to be both Jonathan and Travis.
What about Gable?
Gable
is having a lovely chat.
Yeah,
I'm having a good night.
What does initiative go off of?
Initiative is vigilance.
Got to talk with my crush. Got to
two advantages.
With a friend.
One success, two advantages.
All right, so there are two PC slots and then an NPC slot. Who wants it?
I got a three.
And Liz got a three.
Hell yeah. Give it up for Liz's three. I can take that first slot. So there are three. There are three people on the raised platform.
Yeah.
Okay. Jonnet is just going at this point. Jonnet's like throwing a little bit of caution to the wind because this shit is already kind of hitting the fan. He's just going to, because I assume their attention is focused on Orimar, Jonnet's just going to run up and just shove one of the guys, hoping that he's going to push him over.
Cool. You run up to this guy, and as you start charging towards him, you feel a pinprick.
Duh. Okay. Damn it. Okay, great.
And James didn't mention it, but it's in your wiener.
Oh, no.
No.
Pee-pee
no.
Prick prick.
Not my weenie. Not my wingus.
That is the Skyjack word for it, is wingus.
Wingus? So then in that, God. Okay.
Yeah, right in the wiener. It sucks.
This session sucks. My friggin' wingus. Well then, is that my turn?
No. Do I have to? No. I think you can change tact as soon as you notice what's happening.
Yeah, so Jonnet's gonna stop, and he's going to, under his breath, at least try to curse that old lady. I don't know if that's gonna go against the dishonorableness or not, but he's going to take a step back. He's going to maybe move further back into closer to the ladder where he came up. And he's just going to, I guess, put his hand on the ground to try and, like, I don't know, maybe just like rock the platform and make their footing uneasy so that they can't pop off like as accurate a shot to maybe give them a black die.
I like that. I like that a lot. Let's do an Arcana roll.
Yeah.
And remember, you've cast one spell so far. That was too strain to do that. Okay. And this other spell is also going to be too strain. I think the difficulty on this is going to be average again.
Okay. All right, here we go. Nah, Okay, so that is one failure, one threat.
Okay. Yep. So now we got to figure out what makes this break bad. The last time Jonnet fucked up casting a spell, he succeeded, but he also suffered this like major consequence with it. So
maybe there's some kind of blowback, or the shifting around happens underneath Jonnet and he like loses footing, or
I think let's say this is just too much overall and doesn't it accomplishes sort of what you wanted, but also not at all what you wanted. I think like four or five of the chains holding up this catwalk completely blow out, and it's now on a major tilt.
Gotcha.
So they're not targeting Orimar anymore, but they and you are holding on for dear life.
Okay. I guess in that moment, Jonnet like falls to the ground, grabs what he can of like some kind of hold to like stable himself, and just shouts out, "Travis!
Hmm?
Travis, do something!
Oh, you're here!
Yes!
Welcome!
To what?
The fight!
Look, I need some help!
Well, don't we all? Look at the captain. He looks like a fool.
He looks the most in control out of all of us.
Well, he's being a real jerk.
What do you mean?
Johnny, have you ever felt like a sharp pain in your side for no reason whatsoever?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think Travis is struck with something like this, and it feels like your heart is beating very fast.
Oh, well, now I'm just stressing out. I'm just having a panic attack over here because the captain is being so difficult.
I'm having a panic attack because I feel like I'm going to fall to my death.
Well, okay, I think mine's a little worse, but sure.
You can fly.
Yes, I'm aware. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about the captain. No, look, nobody likes a wise guy, and the captain is being a real wise guy tonight.
You feel that sharp pain again strike you, and it's like almost to the point where you've got to land. Your heart is racing.
Did I just get shot?
It
feels like I got shot.
I don't know. I don't think so.
I would like to dive. Because there's another PC slot, correct?
Yeah,
I would like to dive at the nearest red feather and try and go for their eyes.
Oh yeah, sure.
That's your specialty.
Tasty.
The Matigo special.
What is beak? What is beak fight?
That's agility. So that's okay. Whatever your agility score is, which I think is 3. Yep. Right?
How hard is it?
Let's see. I think it is 2 purple with, I'm going to say, a blue die.
Oh, blue. Okay. I was going to say a black because of my tummy.
Oh, yeah. Let's give you both.
Okay.
Because you've also, like, they're hanging on for dear life, so they're not doing a lot of protecting themselves.
Don't tell me. 2 successes.
All right, 2 successes. Yeah, you were able to dive in. I think like we see Travis swooping in and the camera cuts away as we hear a red feather soldier scream. And I think there's no way they survived that.
I've got a big, nasty raven beak.
Yeah, you got a
ravens are big as shit.
Oh, yeah.
Is this like a beak into the brain?
I don't think it's so much into the brain. It's just if you're holding on to something to save yourself and then something hits you in the eye, I think you just lose your balance and fall.
Bloops.
Eyes are pretty big, so it probably doesn't get through to the brain. Mm. Eyes are so big, too.
I'm sure our audience loves this discussion.
Hey, you ever thought about your eyes?
They're so big.
Do you feel them inside your head? No, you don't. You just feel the space that they occupy.
Because the amount...
Take your finger and poke it in your eye.
Okay.
Keep on poking.
Okay.
Keep on poking. Come on, just do it.
Have you ever tried to feel your own brain?
This is a common no-no thing for most people. So we're going to cut away from that.
This is a body horror ASMR podcast.
I drew the island, which I think is not fortunate for this poor soul. They scream and fall to their death.
Do they scream like Goofy?
Gorsh!
Excellent. Yes. Thank
Johnny,
you.
How do you think Goofy screams?
A hook. Have you seen that picture? I'll find it and then we can talk about it when I find
Horny
it.
Horny Goofy? Yes.
Good.
Horny Goofy.
So I think these red feathers are going to try and collect themselves so that they can continue to pursue everyone. This is just a perilous situation, though. So no, they just barely managed to hold on and they sort of forego their turns. Jonnet, you are hanging on. I think you are in the least stable place because you're kind of at the epicenter of this spell.
Mm-hmm. Really emotionally fraught.
Hey.
I think you're like dangling from this platform. What do you do?
I would like to pull some agility shit out of my ass. I assume like I broke a bunch of chains and that's what's causing everything to go lopsided.
Yes.
Those chains are probably still dangling from the scaffolding, the railing.
Yeah.
Johnny would like to grab one of those chains and like use that to like just wrap his entire body around that to get a little bit of like stability, because that's better than just his arms holding on to the railing.
Oh, for sure. That definitely will. I don't even think that's a full action. You managed to brace yourself. That was kind of a maneuver.
Okay. Well, then I would like to do it in a way that like he like sort of lets go and grabs it so that he's got some momentum.
Oh, you're trying to swing
this
platform?
Yes, I am.
Okay, this seems like either athletics or coordination, whichever you would prefer to roll.
Coordination. There we go. And what am I rolling against?
I think this is hard, yeah, but upgrade your check because you have managed to brace yourself. Or no, add a blue die, rather.
Okay. Great. Ooh. Oh, no. Okay. So that is... That's one triumph and three failures.
Okay. Huh. So...
Oh, boy.
I couldn't be more excited about this. This is some Buckwild stuff. This is a move that you have done 10,000 times in the rigging of the Uhuru. Mm-hmm. You know, you deftly climb the netting, like hang out around the crow's nest. You're always climbing around the outside of the ship. You always volunteer to replace busted pulleys and whatnot that are out on the sails.
John be jumping around.
Yeah, you're an agile boy. But this is a chain and not a rope. And usually when you're swinging around, you have some kind of safety line on you, but there's no safety line here. And chains don't swing in the same way that ropes do. Not only that, this platform isn't super secure. There are two grown men above you that are struggling to keep on it. So you let go and you just time it wrong. And you slip and you fall. This is a fall of like, man, 50 feet. It's a rough one. And we also know from our time with the Star Wars campaign that in the Genesis system, falling is the most dangerous thing that can happen to you.
But he does have a pile of boys to break his fall.
Not even that. Jonnet, you have seconds before you hit the ground. What is your thought process? Like, it's like seconds, this thought process, but you feel like you're about to die. What does Jonnet think in a situation like that?
Be careful.
Holy shit.
Well, I think that in that moment, Like he's trying to, it's like it's all flashing. It's all happening so fast. He's like probably like spinning a little bit out of control, and like his own like clothes are like sort of flapping in his face. So it's probably you know quick shots of Zana and just the Uhuru, and just like being like at the front bust of the ship, and just like a shot of like laughing with Gable and shaking his fist at Travis, and he's trying to like remember the visual of himself as this grown captain, and is like, no, I have seen this, I will become this. And it's just like this vibrating prickliness that's all around him.
Oh, I love this.
And can I maybe?
I know what saves you.
Okay,
but
great.
I do love that Jonnet has this like crisis of faith. His life flashes before his eyes, and he holds on to the future that he knows belongs to him.
Right.
Instead of uncertainty, instead of foolishness, the last thing he feels before he would hit the ground is faith in himself. And then you feel the sand. It's accompanied by a wind. The air around you is dry and hot suddenly. You are about to hit the ground, seconds away from death. You open your eyes and you can see a swirl of tan and blue sand swirling around you, a dust devil. In that moment, like where you had like very clearly in your mind a picture of your future self, it's a memory that you have that is so certain that feels like it stopped the fall itself. But of course, it was this spell, and this spell unceremoniously drops you to the ground when you are at a safe distance. Boom! And looking up from your back, you see the Banded Queen looking down at you with eyes glowing yellow. And a scarred and wrinkled face smiling.
How far away are we?
She's standing right above you.
Oh. What did you do to me?
She reaches into her robes that she's wearing and pulls out a small glass bottle that looks like it's got some sand dart in it. It's like really intricate patterns of sand that has been lined up in a bottle. Something from the homeland. She smiles and you can see her teeth are stained blue.
John stands up, and I guess in this moment, the whole commotion up there doesn't necessarily... It hasn't re-entered his brain, and he's just kind of staring at the Bandit Queen, staring at the sand, and he kind of like grits his teeth, and he's like, "Thank you."
She smiles and goes, "That was polite." We're gonna cut over to Travis. Travis, mm-hmm. It's your turn.
Well, I'd like to go for another boy.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Before it is your turn.
What does an eyeball feel like?
Oh,
with your finger when you press it.
Well, it definitely like it. I assume they pop.
Okay. my question was, your genuine reaction to seeing Jonnet fall to shout be careful or what have you?
I don't think so.
Yeah. what does Travis is going to see that scene unfold in front of him.
I think he might shout, "Be careful," right before he falls. And then realizing like, oh, you fell. I meant it. Then I think he flies to Jonnet.
So yeah, you dive bomb towards Jonnet. Does Travis send any unintentional commands to Orimar in this moment?
I think that Travis thinks like we have to save him, and if Orimar gets any of that, he gets it.
I kind of love that. I think in this moment, like we see in the air, you know, Travis understands what's happening and goes into a dive bomb. Mid dive bomb, I think we see Orimar Vail just let go of the beam that he was holding on
Not
to.
You too!
But of course, we know how Orimar Vail operates. He falls into a stall that's within the stadium that is full of crates and chickens. there is a comical bagawk, and there's just a big, like, explosion of feathers that comes out of the stall.
Oh, so now the captain speaks. bagawk.
Yeah, there is one griffin chicken there, and it's just, it gives a deep and dignified bagawk. There's that explosion of feathers. But you see, Travis, in the middle of your dive, you see this funnel of multicolored sand stop Jonnet before he hits the ground. Like all of the visions of the terrible thing unfolding stop in front of you, and you've got a moment to think to yourself before you act. What do you do?
I think that I do that thing where, like, I kind of try to slow down and, like, because I don't want to hit the tornado.
Right.
And I think during that time I see that Jonnet is safe, and I'm kind of circling to see what this woman does and if I should attack her.
You don't see many hostile actions, but emerging from this tent now where Orimar fell, like they come out obviously comically covered in feathers. He's holding a chicken that sort of dives off.
Feathers in his beard, obviously.
Yeah. He coughs up a baby chick.
For sure.
Yeah. He definitely coughs up a baby chick.
Mm-hmm. He swallowed an egg, coughed up a chick.
That's how babies are.
That's how babies happen. And then he sees her. As the funnel fades away, Orimar, or the body of Orimar, the captain, catches eyes of this person looking down at Jonnet. She says something that even if he was alive, he wouldn't be able to hear because he's simply too far away and surrounded by the chaotic noises of panicked chickens.
Mama horny.
But she looks up after saying it and catches eyes with him. And you feel an extreme emotional reaction, Travis. In your chest, your heart flutters.
Oh, I don't like this one bit.
When's the last time Travis Madigo was in love?
I think just ages, because there's no point.
It definitely. How early on in your career as an immortal did that strike you? How many times did you try? You had 200 years.
Probably just the one, you know.
Wow.
I'm just looking for that immortal, you know.
Wow.
Maybe that rabbit's foot came from a honey bunny, you know what I'm saying?
Gross.
Well, fan fiction writers,
no!
Go to work.
You've been given too much ammunition in that statement.
Like a Lola Rabbit.
No.
I think, like, you're hit with a wave of emotions that the last time you felt anything like it was so long ago. It's difficult to even recall the memory, but you do see their face. What did they look like?
Oh, gosh. I think, if I may, I don't see their face. I think I see them from, like, behind, and I see, like, sort of long, curly hair, and just as they're kind of turning around to look at me, like in my head I'm calling to them, just as they're turning to look at me, their face does that thing where when you're like in a dream, you can tell that there's a face there, but you can't tell what it looks like, because it's sort of what a face would look like before it's turned into a face. And it's just kind of like a blurry smoke impression of a face, and then it disappears.
Oh, I love that. So yeah, you're left with residual emotional feeling that you're having difficulty processing. But the captain is now swiftly moving towards Jonnet.
Jonnet, I'm having a panic attack.
What? Jonnet turns to the bandit queen. We'll talk later. And then he tries to, I assume, like, tries to, like, find Travis, but then maybe catches sight of Orimar heading directly towards him. And I feel like in that moment, Jonnet's a little stunned. He's like, Captain Vale, what are you doing?
In this chaos, like, you say to the bandit queen, we'll talk again.
That we will.
She throws another bottle to the floor, and this time you can see the spell unfold. The sand, like, spills out in this pattern and then starts to swirl around on its own, and she gently sits down on it. It lifts her into the air, and she flies away.
Damn.
Wow.
Jonnet, up here, the white bird covered in blood.
Stop
catch
flying.
Me,
I'll
catch me.
I'll catch you.
Travis, like, stops flapping, turns to it on his back, and just falls.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master. Welcome to the mid-roll. First off, I would like everyone to thank Casey Tony for his work editing this week. Week after week, he does an amazing job with this show, and I just want to know he feels appreciated. Next up, I am happy to report we have my full schedule for my Traveling Man signing tour. This November, I'm going to be in the UK for Thought Bubble, but first, I'll be doing signings at the Traveling Man Bookshop. On Thursday, November 7th, I will be at the Leeds location at 12:30 p.m., and then at the Manchester location at 4:30. Then Friday, November 8th, I will be at the York location at 12:30 p.m., and at the Newcastle location at 4:30 p.m. Heroes, I'm really excited to see so many of you there. We'll have copies of both the Ultimate Character Backstory Guide and the Ultimate Gameplay Guide. I haven't done too many book signings before, and I have no idea how large my audience is outside of the United States, so I imagine that a lot of these signings you'll be able to spend some personal time with me, which I would appreciate because I'd like people to have a good enough time that I get invited back because this is a really exciting thing that I get to do. As I mentioned before, I'm traveling to the UK for the Thought Bubble Comics Festival. That is going to be November 9th through 10th. I imagine I'll be signing things and hanging out at the show. I do have a panel planned, and it's going to be a lot of fun, so be sure to show up for that. I have been told that I should put together some kind of one-shot meetup, and I would like to do that, but there's a lot of prep work that I have to get out of the way first. So be sure to watch my Twitter feed for any signs of a meetup that might occur. And since I got to go on this cool book tour, I might as well point out that I got a new book out. It is the Ultimate RPG Gameplay Guide. And folks, if you like the work we're doing here on Campaign and you want to bring some of that energy to your table, I recommend picking up that book. In it, I try to break down my understanding of role-playing games. I lay out the dynamics that I think are happening at the table, along with some advice on how to take advantage of those dynamics to give your game a more narrative twist. I also provide exercises to help you solidify those skills and set you up to play the best game you've ever played. Now, of course, this is all just from my perspective. I imagine a lot of you will pick up this book and have completely different ideas, which is good. My ultimate dream is that this book helps people solidify their own gameplay styles and create a unique voice for themselves. Now, you can pick that book up by heading to bit.ly/RPG gameplay. And if you already have a copy, you can head to bit.ly/ultimate gameplay and leave a review. Reviews are incredibly important to books like mine. I am not super famous, and although my last book did well, I could definitely use help on this one. Positive reviews help more people see the book. And hopefully that will help a lot of people have more fun at their role-playing tables. Finally, before we get back to the show, I have to thank our backers on Patreon. And folks, if you're not a backer on Patreon yet, I suggest doing it soon. We just released the second part of my conversation with the Patrick Rothfuss on the magic system for Skyjacks. So if you want to pick up a little bit of lore, if you're interested in seeing how the narrative structure affects the game structure of what we're doing here on Skyjacks, then you'll definitely want to hear that conversation. I also just get to talk to Patrick, who has spent so much more time cultivating worlds than I have. I learned so much from that conversation. So I imagine if somebody was a fly on the wall, they would also learn a lot. You can get access to that and so many other pieces of bonus content by signing up at the $5 tier for our Patreon. That gets you the secret archive, which is full of cool audio stuff. Just head to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast. And I really do appreciate all of our backers, because without you, we wouldn't be able to make this show. And folks, I love this show. I also want to point out that this week we have released the character art for The Bandit Queen. I want to point out the Bandit Queen Sifa is actually a combination of different factors in the world. I had envisioned a Bandit Queen character basically from the start of Skyjacks, but a lot of pieces of her backstory and personality fell into place after Strix, the contributor who came up with the Rakshari people, wrote up her part of this world. In true role-playing fashion, Sifa is no longer a character that is exclusively mine, but is part of a larger collaborative story, and I couldn't love that more. So a huge thanks to Strix for her contributions, a huge thanks to Hannah Lavender for creating the character art of Sifa, and a huge thanks to all of you for signing up for our mailing list so you could get an early look at her. I hope her appearance in this episode thrilled you as much as it thrilled me, because I had no idea she was going to show up again until Jonnet made that roll. Now, with all of that out of the way, let's get back in the sky. It, like, falling into your arms is this white bird who is covered in blood.
Oh my god.
It's pouring from his face. It fills you with panic.
Travis, like, kind of rests his head into John's shoulder and says, "Don't worry. It's the blood from his eye. It's not mine."
I know it was. I know it is, okay? Look, we're going to be fine, okay? We got the captain, and we can find Gable, and everything's going to be okay. So
this one has boysenberry in it. Ooh, delicious. Oh, this is really refreshing.
Drunk.
Just having some good, good gossip.
I think in that moment, there's... Jonnet probably isn't going to try and hide the captain anywhere. Can you make him follow us? We got to get out of here.
Oh, I don't know. Will you follow us?
I don't know.
Or are you too busy being a wise guy?
The captain winks.
He's been doing that all night.
That's all he does.
Yes, I know, and it's infuriating. And me in this condition. Honestly, do you think of no one but yourself?
What happened? You were fine a second ago. You took out a guy's eye.
I don't know. I think all the stress of this competition and just wanting to live up to these ridiculous expectations you put on me, telling me I'm going to win over and over again.
I was trying to be encouraging.
Well, I appreciate it. But just know that sometimes, you know, the stress can wear on a person. Okay. And it hurts my tummy and my heart.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. I guess I'm sorry. I feel like I'm not really sorry, but...
Oh, great. Everyone's a wise guy tonight. Everyone.
I'm not a wise guy, right? I'm just trying to get us out of here. I think John...
Okay, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was like...
Dumb idea.
He's got Travis in one hand, and with the other hand, just out of curiosity, he grabs a handful of sand and stuffs it in his bag. Because I got to figure out what this was. A little bit of the... What were the colors?
They were like tan and blue.
Okay, yeah. He gets a handful of the tan and a handful of the blue, and he just very unceremoniously just stuffs both into his pocket.
Well, now you've got a dirty bag.
No, you are covered in blood.
It's not my blood. I'm fine. I appreciate your concern.
Okay, since you've done that, I think I can do my stupid idea. So Travis is in your arms. You've like grabbed up some of this sand. I think there is the shouting in the distance of Red Feather soldiers, and suddenly you feel the strong arms of the captain lift you up, and you are in the captain's arms.
Yay! Carrying babies. Babies carrying babies.
Y'all better draw that shit and have that on
babies,
Twitter
babies,
tomorrow. The artists and fans of Campaign are the dopest people.
So cute.
Yeah.
I feel like this episode in particular has had a lot of good fun.
Drawable moments.
And so when that happens, Jonnet kind of does the same thing where, like, he gets picked up into the captain's arms and kind of just, like, nestles a little bit because, you know, boys had a day.
Yeah, it's been a fucking week.
I feel like Orimar just, like, sprints out and just runs through, like, 40 panes of glass, chickens flying everywhere. He's
crates.
Just going.
Oh, not my beautiful wedding cake.
Jackie Chan here carrying babies. Jackie Chan carrying babies. What we have is I feel like the scene is over, but you're not necessarily out of danger yet, which is why I think it's appropriate to draw a luminary.
Sure.
So just somebody volunteer for this group, and maybe we'll put an end to this scene.
I volunteer.
Maybe it'll get much, much worse somehow.
Much, much worse. Much, much worse. Much, much worse.
The drought.
That's worse.
Much worse, baby! You are in the captain's arms, like, barreling through
in
stalls and, like,
of a captain.
Running just at an unbelievable speed, moving through people, knocking them to the side. There are shots ringing out and shouts all around. There gets to a point where you are headed towards an alley and Red Feather soldiers fill up that alley. The captain turns and soldiers barrel down another alley. So the captain jumps through a window into a building and rolls in that building and rolls right to the feet of Argus Westfield and Tiberius Youngblood.
What?
We're going to cut over to the
hotel. I'm sorry, what?
That was much worse.
They pulled the drought. That's a bad one.
That's a bad one.
That's a bad one.
That's bad boy.
This was originally going to be a bit of an all play, but, you know, we'll just move certain things up. But I want to focus on Gable right now. Gable, you have we're cutting past this gossip conversation. Mm-hmm. And we're having you back at the hotel.
I'm taking a bubble bath. I'm very tired, and I know the tub is too small, but I saw Travis have one 2 days ago, and that's all I've been thinking about all day. It's taking a nice bubble bath because I'm so dirty and so tired.
I love this. Yeah. You're
just like two big legs just hanging off the side. Because
It is relaxing, though.
Like, which makes me so mad.
The tub that the broker has supplied, like, it's also a big tub. I don't know if you've ever been in a super fancy hotel room. I've only gotten to do it once in my life. But, like, the tubs they have are bigger tubs.
Tubs is big.
Yeah.
But you still are comically large in this tub, for
sure. You ever have one of those nights where you're, like, a little bit buzzed and you're just like, I just want to take a bath.
Oh, for sure.
I just want to fucking just be wet right now.
Oh.
Just want to be smell good.
I want to be smell good.
I want to be smell good.
Yeah, and there are like all sorts of like bubbles and oils for you to put in there. So yeah. It smells fantastic. It's super relaxing. Mm-hmm. And you're actually kind of having a moment of peace right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of the stress got to melt away in this bath.
It would be great if that could just happen for the rest of the night.
The sentence, yeah.
And then they keep on having their fight, and I'll have a nice nap right now.
So when Gable is in this tub,
yes,
in a moment that is relaxed, what do they think of?
No one has really had a whole lot of time to decompress yet.
Yeah.
The thing that Gable is thinking of is the plan that they've put into motion.
That is, man, Gable... What a responsible person.
You gotta clock out sometimes.
Take time for you.
Well, how can we really relax if we haven't reaped our vengeance, you know? Can you ever really let your guard down until you've killed everyone who's ever wronged you?
My therapist told me that today.
Yeah, I think you are envisioning a moment of your inevitable or eventual victory,
mm-hmm,
over Tiberius. You're like, it's not so much that all the stress has gone away. It's you're holding on to that sadness about Dref, but you're imagining being able to let it go in avenging him. And I think it's probably Dref that you're thinking of when your peace is disrupted.
No.
By the piercing and grating voice of Spit.
Anyone around?
Hey, please, for once in my life and your life, please don't be the worst.
Please. I'm sorry. Well,
what could
you're
possibly,
here relaxing,
possibly.
And the captain's off doing a competition, and Travis is getting drunk in a ditch somewhere.
Absolutely, that's what he's doing, yes.
Jonathan, I don't think, is old enough to handle this type of thing, but the ship still has to run, doesn't it? That
ship
falls to Spit.
Ship, the Spit... hold on. Gable gets out of the tub and tries to find something to put on.
So there are bathrobes there, but they'd be
so
small on you.
Yeah, I'm putting on a very tiny bathrobe.
That's like,
and wrapping my hair in a towel.
That's a very Trist Valentine look. That we're
okay, then I'm not doing it.
I like it.
And then Gable comes out and says, the ship is parked. Take a night off. The next few days are going to be so hard, Spit, and you ruin my day every day.
Well, look, I'm sure we'd all like to take baths and...
Just because you've never taken one, you nasty man.
Oh, no, I've taken a bath, but I've earned
gross.
It.
Gross. Gross. What do you want? What could you possibly want right now?
We got to deal with the orphans.
Excuse me?
The captain's not here to say goodbyes, do inspections, make sure that we keep rotating. So I need somebody who's part of the captain's inner circle to help run the process. And Spit's not going to be around forever, so you got to learn how to do it.
I think you are going to live forever, because otherwise, who would annoy me until I die?
Well, either way,
what do you need me to do? Like kiss the orphans goodnight and give them little smooches on the head?
No. We. You know, some of them age up. And this is a big city. It's probably the best chance for a lot of them who aren't going to stay on. And also, it's a big city. Makes a lot of orphans. So.
I think we'd all like to see a scene with Gable and 7 or 8 orphans.
Do you like that very much?
Not. No.
How to speak orphan?
What do you mean? I don't know.
Well, I guess you've only been on the ship 6 months, right?
Yes.
So maybe you wouldn't. Well, it's one of the things the captain does in every city, a settlement we go to, he takes on as many as we can have. We teach them a skill, give them the best shot they got, and then we drop them off when they're old enough and healthy enough.
How dare you make a dumb bit noble?
We're a foster care facility.
I guess that's one way of putting it, though. They are classified as prisoners.
That's true. They're classified as prisoners. Are there any orphans that are ready to go right now?
Yeah, I got them waiting downstairs in one of the meeting rooms. There's a ceremony that Vale does. You know, a few of them want to stay on, and they got to answer the right questions, and you got to be there for that.
Okay. I'll be down in a second, and you make sure that the ones that are in the room are the ones that have the most different voices. Just for clarity's sake, I need to put on pants.
We'll smash cut to Gable put together. Is this an iconic Gable look?
Yes.
Okay. An iconic Gable look with the new haircut.
Tight pants, the new funky bob, and a shirt that's just not been buttoned. And that full fresh look of being just out the tub, fully flushed.
I think you head down and in like one of the meeting rooms that's set up in the Mori, there is a room full of kids who are aged between like 13 and 16.
It's okay.
You know, some of them remind you of Jonnet in a way. They're not the younger, sicker orphans that we hear from so often on the Uhuru. These are the older ones, mm-hmm. The ones who staved off their illnesses and have been on the ship for, you know, goodness knows how long. As you enter the room, as you and Spit enter the room, they straighten up. And obviously, Tyler, Johnny, you'll be playing orphans in this.
Is that obvious?
You don't need to.
So how many total orphans are there?
There are probably, I'm going to say, about six in this room.
Okay, two of them don't talk.
Two of them don't talk. Hey, Mr. Gable. Hey, Mr. Gable. Yes?
Mrs. Gable? Mrs. Gable.
Hang on. No, that's not it.
Mr. Gable, we're ready to go. I've been fully rehabilitated and I'm ready to join the workforce here on land.
Mrs. Gable, I don't think I want to stay. I don't want to leave the ship. I want to stay on for many more adventures.
That's lovely, yes.
Mr. Gable, I met a man who wants me to help him sell his hair tonic.
This is... I don't recommend that. If you find a man named Dodger, that might be more along.
No, his name was Pirelli. He seems like a good and trustworthy man.
Okay, Toby, I wish you the best.
Mr. Gable.
Oh my God, you're so...
Mr. Gable.
Yeah?
I lost my boot.
You lost your poop?
I lost my poop.
You lost your poop?
And I don't think I can make any like imperative decisions when I got my poop.
You don't need to. You can take a day or go to the next port. So don't cry, Mr. don't cry. Gable. If you don't cry, please don't cry.
Hey, is this Mr. Gable? Mr. Gable. You look so handsome today. Just wanted to let you know, so handsome and so fresh, and I hope you're all relaxed.
Stop kissing up, Curly.
I will kiss up whoever I want to kiss up.
Nothing.
All right.
Okay.
Spit, what are we supposed to do here?
Well, we got to ask them the questions, and you got to remember this, because in the next city, you or somebody in your group is going to have to do it, and I know it's not going to be Travis.
All right, what are the questions?
All right, listen up.
Jonnet, my ears are ringing.
What? No, it's okay. Just go back to sleep.
How many of you are healthy?
I'm healthy.
Healthy?
Healthy of mind or healthy of body?
I think we gotta have to settle for body. Depression is common, and it's a lifelong struggle.
Oh, well, the answer for both was bad. But on the bright side, Mr. Pirelli said his tonic would pick me right up.
I'm going to keep an eye on you for a while after this.
And said, I'm feeling very well, Mr. Gable, almost as well as you look.
Oh, come on, Curly.
I know I didn't talk earlier, but I got this extra boot, so I'm feeling
pretty
good.
This is Jerk Off Jerry. Get out of here.
Jerry has my boot?
You can have it back. You might want to shake it out a little bit.
You can stay. We'll get you new boots. Oh, I'm so sorry. Please don't cry. Please don't
beautiful
cry.
Beautiful boot.
All right, well, accepting of the one who might not be sound of body. Everyone's healthy, so that's the first question down.
I'll be on the ship in case anyone needs me.
But you, Jerry, you get back on the ship!
Okay, just be sure to knock if you come in.
We've learned. No, we know the reason. It's your name.
Jerry?
Jerk off Jerry! Because he's always jerry-rigging doors closed so he can masturbate.
And that's it. We peaked.
That's it.
It can't be better than that.
Scotty Jacks.
So we return once again to the long line of prospective sky pirates in front of the Uhuru. Our council of judges is approached by a figure in a tan trench coat who puts down a headshot and resume and takes a seat on the stool with like very resolute authority and perfect posture.
Okay. All right. It's not the worst that we've had.
State your name and your deal.
Name's Kai Aiden.
Sorry?
Kai Aiden, and I aim to be a skyjack.
Are you five coyotes?
I am not five coyotes. I am one man.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Kai Aiden, well, what position do you see yourself on the ship?
I see myself starting out mostly moving boxes and then maybe growing into a more responsible role after my first few months on the ship.
That's very reasonable.
Okay.
Unusually so.
All right. Well, Kai. Well, so sometimes, a lot of times, we find ourselves in harrowing situations. Are you versed with a rifle, pistol, or weapon of some sort?
I am familiar with most types of small firearm.
All right. Here is a derringer. Take this.
Wait, what?
He grabs the derringer.
All right.
John, where'd you get that?
And this is an earring I took from Gable's room.
Excuse me. What?
Hit it.
Say.
He shoots it. The earring is enormous.
Yeah,
excuse me.
It's frisbee sized.
John! Cool. My diamonds! My diamonds! My beautiful diamonds!
All right. If I throw any of Gable's things in the air, will you shoot them?
No! My things!
If that is a requirement for joining the crew, I will do just that.
It's not, and I didn't. Please stay out of my room.
But first, if I may, I've prepared a few questions for this crew.
Well, that's not how this works, so.
I will allow it.
Are you familiar with the loading docks in Fertile Springs?
Oh, I get this now, and no.
No, so you do not believe that your skyship, the Uhuru, was parked on those loading docks on October the 28th?
No.
We can't say.
I plead the fifth.
You can't say. Do you remember anything about a man named Tybalt Vinebottom?
No, that's a fake name.
That's not a person.
It's just a bunch of consonants.
So does not feel familiar at all. So you would have no idea why a Mr. Tybalt Vinebottom would say that his skyship was parked next to your skyship on that dock, mm-hmm. and after your skyship left that dock, had massive scratches on the side?
No.
You would know nothing about a situation like that.
We wouldn't know anything about it. And even if we did, we wouldn't want to associate with someone who hires private investigators for petty things such as scratches on a ship.
Even if we were, which we were not involved at all, you can go tell Tybalt that his ship looks like crap, and it did when we got there, all right? And there's no way that we could put scratches in it because we take off and land vertically, right?
Just because your whole thing is busted doesn't mean you need to blame it on their other people. Maybe become a better person,
Janky-ass tugboat.
Very well. And again, this is a purely hypothetical situation. I'm interested in becoming a member of your crew and just have a few questions.
That's a lot of questions.
Now, do you recognize anything in this portrait right here? You see pictures of a skyship dock. There is one ship that bears a striking resemblance to the Uhuru banging into another really beat-ass looking ship immediately next to it in the dock.
I see two faces kissing.
Interesting. Noted. What about you?
I can say with all certainty that I don't recognize any of the ships, however lovely that one on the right is.
I would like to draw your attention to this figure here who appears to be hanging off the front of this ship pictured in this portrait. Can you describe him?
It's a smudge. It's a smudge on the picture.
A smudge like, wearing a red headband.
It's a red smudge on top of a tiny smudge.
Now, this is clearly not our ship because you see... if you look at our ship, which you're on, there's a giant taint painted on it.
That we haven't gotten fixed.
Mm-mm.
Oh, it has been fixed.
Oh, great. Cool.
Oh, I don't remember that. Well, then.
This is in the past.
Well, then here's what I'll
Dref.
Say.
Where's Dref?
Right here. Here's what I'll say then. The ship in this picture has a big old taint painted on it. And the one that you're on ain't got no taint. So. How are you going to explain that?
Yeah.
Check you can't make a taint go away.
So
I've tried.
There's no taint. There's no complaint. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. Well, I believe I've gathered all the information that I need to potentially join your crew.
It's just one thing. In order to join the crew, to be seriously considered, we're going to need that notebook, those pictures, and that trench coat.
And we're going to pants you.
Campaign Skyjacks is a one-shot network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter at @CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing. You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com. Like Asians Represent. Asians Represent celebrates Asian creators and diversity in the gaming community. Join hosts Agatha Cheng and Daniel Kwan as they discuss gaming, genre, and representation with their guests and occasionally argue with each other about the sound of Agatha's beloved air horn app. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter at Tyler A. Dave, on main stage with Second City, or at I.O. with Devil's Daughter. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @Liz_... or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyInBriefs or on his podcast, Dilettante Ball. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my other podcast, One Shot. The original music featured in this production was composed and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find Arnie on Twitter at @ArnePArrott. And you can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at @CaseyPony, spelled CaseyPoney, or on his own podcast, Neoscum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at @FionaPup. The world of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists and the card game Illimat, property of Together Studios. The role-playing game used for this production is a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system published by Fantasy Flight Games. There are no kings. Take flight, heroes.
Health to the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.